are listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We believe that Jesus came to set you free and nothing can cancel the truth of God's word. Now here's your host, the youth pastor of Impact Youth at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, Pastor Joey Santora.
What is going on, Uncanceled? How are you guys doing? Thank you so much for tuning in. As you can see, we're going live today. I was thinking about going live more often, just every single week. Even if nobody tunes in, I'm going to post the stuff afterwards anyway. I'm really happy that you decided to tune in today. We're live on YouTube and on Instagram. But today I want to talk to you about something out of the Bible. And I want to talk to you about a topic that is a little controversial today. And this is a tough conversation to be able to have with many Christians. And I want you to know that the purpose in which I'm talking about this is because I feel it to be important that in a generation that is so consumed with feelings and with thoughts and with opinions, that we be rooted in the Word of God. Something that I talked about on our broadcast not that long ago was weighing everything against the Word. Weighing everything against the Word. And this is yet another area that we need to weigh against the Word. I really want to ask you to really reason with me today. People can have very strong opinions about this matter, and they can feel very strongly about, you know, what they think about this subject. And I can understand why people feel strongly about it, because there's some cultural backgrounds and dynamics that come into this. But I mentioned this in my sermon last night, and I wanted to do a deeper teaching on it today. And really what I want to get into with you guys today is, should Christians drink alcohol? Should Christians drink alcohol? I've done this teaching before with my leaders before, but I wanted to do it again here live for you to be able to hear about. And I really, again, want to reason with you. It's so important when we hear the Word of God that we allow it to challenge our beliefs. I've often heard messages before that changed my mind. You know what? I'll actually tell you about this, because I think this will loosen some of it up a little bit, because some people may, you know, be a little defensive hearing about this right away. I used to believe it was okay for Christians to drink alcohol. And I was okay with, you know, I was like, yeah, you know, a Christian can have, you know, a drink, all that type of stuff. And we're going to distinguish in just a minute between wine and hard liquor. We're going to talk about that as well. But I thought that it was all right. It didn't matter if hard liquor, wine, all that type of stuff, as long as you're not getting drunk or whatever, all that type of stuff. And somebody did a teaching one time, and they said very strongly, they taught on alcohol. And man, the conviction of the Holy Spirit got a hold of me as they were talking. And I opened my heart to receive. And I'll be honest with you, I was very defensive when I first heard it. I actually had just became the youth pastor. I was very, very defensive. And I was like, no, I was like, this is not right. I can, you know, Jesus turned the water into wine, all that type of stuff. And I got extremely defensive into what this person was saying. But then I kind of dropped my defenses a little bit, and I allowed myself to reflect upon what the Word of God actually said. And I allowed my opinion to be changed by God's Word. And so I ask that you today would allow the Word of God to speak to you. Allow yourself to be open to what the Word of God actually says about this topic. And I understand, you know, in many cultures, you know, people in any Latin culture, Italian, Spanish, like, you know, Portuguese, all those cultures, Greek, you know, different cultures. Greek is not Latin, but it's Mediterranean. In those cultures, it's very common to drink alcohol as a celebratory thing and things of that nature. But I want to remind us that the Bible is very, very clear that it doesn't matter if we're a Jew or a Greek. Christ is all that matters. What matters more than anything else is Christ. Christ comes before my culture. Christ comes before my family. Christ comes before everything. So I want to challenge us today to remember that Christ is first above everything else. But let's start here. Let's start with some non-negotiables. I'm going to kind of treat this conversation as if I'm doing exactly that. I'm conversing with you. This is what a teaching is. I'm talking with you. I'm reasoning with you as we're watching, and we're doing this together, discussing should a Christian drink alcohol. And I'd encourage you to stay all the way through this, because I'm going to clarify things. I'm going to go into different stuff, and I'm going to do my very best to be able to address this from the Bible. Let's start in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, "Do not get drunk on wine, for that'll ruin your life," or some translations say, which leads to debauchery. "For that'll ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." So let's start here. The Bible's very clear not to be drunk, right? I don't think, at least I would hope not, I don't think there's any Christians that are advocating for Christian drunkenness. And if you're watching on Instagram Live or you're tuning in there, you can head over to our YouTube channel if you want a better experience. Actually, Instagram looks pretty good, Ben. It looks pretty strong on there. So you can stay wherever you want to stay. But as if, you know, I have control over your phone anyway. The Bible's very clear not to be drunk on wine. I don't think there's any Christians that hopefully that are justifying drunkenness, or I would hope there's not Christians out there that are saying, you know, we all just sin, so if I get drunk sometimes, it's not a big deal. That is completely unbiblical to have that mindset. Drunkenness is a clear sin and a clear violation of the Word of God. So let's not be people that try to justify the Word of God for our worldly experiences. But drunkenness is a sin. We know that. The Bible then goes on to say in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 through 9. I want to read this to you. It says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." The Bible says to be alert and of sober mind. If I am intoxicated by alcohol, it is hard for me to be alert. And this is specifically actually talking about alcohol when it says to be of sober minded. Don't let anything intoxicate you. Don't let anything cause you to think or act differently or act in a way that would let your guard down to the devil. The devil is going around like a lion and he is looking to devour you. He is looking to take you out. The devil is looking for you to give him a foothold for you, for him to come into your life and take you out. And so many people through drunkenness, through alcohol, have seen their life ruined. I talk about this story many times, but I'll talk about it again. There was a phenomenal football player that he was a first round pick and he had a bright career in front of him. And one night he got drunk and he decided to get behind a wheel of a car. And then he went and he killed somebody with that car and his whole career was over in that moment. And God had great plans for him. Whether he was a Christian or not, God has great plans for everybody. But he had a great future for his life, but it was ruined through alcohol consumption. Now you might be saying, well, I can get drunk and just not drive. But there's no guarantee of that, because your judgment skills are hindered when you become drunk. You are no longer of sober mind and alert to be able to make decisions. So drunkenness is a clear sin. And the reason why drunkenness is a sin is not because God's trying to ruin your fun, but because we are not meant to be controlled by anything but the Spirit of the living God. We are not meant to go and be controlled by anything else. We're not meant to be intoxicated, because when we're intoxicated, it can lead to sin in our lives. So again, I don't think anyone's out there arguing for, you know, drunkenness to be, good for a Christian. You know, getting drunk is a clear sin. It's unacceptable, and there's no justification for it in the Word of God. Now, go to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Trying to stay in the Bible with you guys today. Proverbs chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. And if you're with me and you've been watching this, I really appreciate that. And I'm glad that this is hopefully helping you today. It says, "Wine is a mocker, and beer or strong drink is a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise." Wine is a mocker. Wine is a mocker. And the Bible is clearly warning us about the dangers of alcohol. Alcohol ruins people's lives. I have friends whose fathers and mothers have been completely destroyed by the bottle. I have friends whose lives have been ruined by alcohol. And so alcohol is an extremely dangerous thing. And so whether you believe it's okay to drink or not, I would hope that you at least agree with, even the world says, if you listen to a Bud Light commercial or a Miller Light commercial or whatever, you know, beer company that you prefer or whatever alcohol that you like, there's a warning that says what? It says drink responsibly. Drink responsibly. I would hope that you would want to drink responsibly. I would hope that you would understand that there are dangers in drinking alcohol. And if you don't drink, you don't have to worry about any of those dangers at all in the first place. I never have to worry about getting drunk because I never drink. So because I've cut it out of my life, I don't have to worry about it in the first place. But there are clear dangers to alcohol. So here are my non-negotiables before we go into anything else. Let me lay it out again. Drunkenness is a sin, very clearly in the Bible. Not being of sober mind is a sin. It's wrong. The Bible says believers should be of sober mind. And wine is dangerous. Alcohol is dangerous. It is something that you are definitely inviting danger into your life by bringing it into your life. It is something to be careful with. Now, just because something is to be careful with doesn't automatically equate to it being a sin. I will acknowledge that. That is a fair thing to say. But people will say things like, you know, I can have a glass of wine. And I want to say this. In fairness, I could understand where somebody is coming from in that perspective. There are scriptures in the Bible that would seem to suggest that it is okay to drink wine in minimal quantities. There's a camp of believers that say that is talking about, talking about the sweet drinks that were available back in the day, and that this was non-intoxicating, non-alcoholic wine, like more of a fruit juice. Now, I'm actually not going to get into the depth of that. What I'm going to say is this. I don't think that we can clearly say that having a glass of wine is a sin. I want to be clear about that. Pastor Joey does not drink any alcohol of any kind. I never do. I drank more than one. I drank one glass of alcohol when I was over 21 legally. And before I was over 21, I drank a couple of other times, and it was very foolish of me to be able to do so. But nonetheless, drinking wine, I can't say that having a glass of wine is a sin. It's just like, oh, if you have a glass of wine, you're sinning. I think that would be an extreme view, and I don't know if I could fully support that with the scriptures. But I want to say this. If you say I can have a glass of wine, fine. You can have a glass of wine. And I'm saying fine in your mind, you can have a glass of wine. But do you have the self-control to keep it from becoming two? Do you have the self-control from keeping it from becoming three? Can you really just have one? Can you really just have one? And that's a question that only you can answer. And I'm going to get into this I'll get into that in a second, actually. The minute we get buzzed, we actually are sinning. You know, I know when to stop because I start to feel buzzed. The minute you feel buzzed, you are now no longer of sober mind. Because you feel that buzz on the inside of you, and now your motor skills and your mind is no longer fully sober. You are giving a foothold to the enemy. So if you can drink a glass of wine without getting buzzed, then that's between you and the Lord. I'll leave that there. Again, I would say I don't find that to be wise to even participate with something so dangerous because of the fact that wine is much different than what it was back then. But that's between you and the Lord. I'm not saying you're sinning. I'm not calling you a bad Christian if you have a glass of wine. I would not recommend it. I wouldn't necessarily support it, but I wouldn't say that you're in sin if you're doing that. But can you really stop at one? I had a pastor that told me, he wasn't my pastor, but he was a pastor of a church, and he was teaching one of my Bible school classes, and he was talking about wine, and he kind of took a similar stance to what I'm taking today. He had a pastor of a large church in Massachusetts, and he's a great guy. I honor him. I'll say his name. His name's Pastor Tim Schmidt. He's a great guy, and I have a lot of respect for some things that he's done for God, but he said that his staff, some of his staff members felt it to be okay to drink, and he said to them, I don't find it to be okay to drink. I don't think that even wine is something that I should participate in. But again, I'm not going to tell you it's a sin for you to have a glass of wine, but can we make an agreement with each other? And they said, sure, what's the agreement? He said, if you get drunk, if you ever find yourself getting drunk, then clearly it shows that you cannot handle alcohol. Can you make an agreement to me that if you find yourself getting drunk, that you'll stop drinking because clearly you can't handle it? And they agreed, and they said, yeah, Pastor, I don't believe in getting drunk. I believe that that's a sin, that's wrong. He said, more oftentimes than not, the pastors would come back to him and say, Pastor, you were right. I got drunk. I drank a little too much, and I realized that this is not something good for me because I can't control myself. I want you to know that I'm being fair to alcohol because I would apply this same principle to a TV show. How would you apply it to a TV show? Ready? If a kid came to me and said, Pastor Joey, every time I watch this show, I'll use a show that's relevant to you guys. Every time I watch The Summer I Turn Pretty, which I don't watch, by the way, not saying one way or another that it's wrong or not, because I don't know anything about the show. But every time I watch The Summer I Turn Pretty, I'm just tempted. I get tempted in my mind. I start to lust and all this stuff. It leads me into sin. You know what I would tell that person? I would say, stop watching The Summer I Turn Pretty. Why? Because clearly you can't handle watching that show without falling into sin. In the same way, I would say that to somebody with drinking any type of alcohol, including wine. I would say, if you find yourself going into sin, even sometimes when you drink alcohol, I would say that you should avoid it. Why? Because we want to please God, because we want to be people of God. We want to please the Lord in everything that we do. And so I don't want to even come close to offending the Lord. And if I know that sometimes I may get drunk when I drink, maybe not all the time, but sometimes I may go too far, then I shouldn't do it because I want to please the Lord. That's called having a heart to please God. And so I'd encourage you with that. If your mindset is I can have a glass of wine, or maybe you are in high school. If you're in high school, you shouldn't even be thinking about this, by the way, because it's illegal for you to drink alcohol. And that would be going against it. And yes, I realized that I did that when I was in high school before, and that was wrong of me. I acknowledge that. And I made a mistake, and I thank God for his forgiveness when we do make mistakes and such. But we need to be very careful about pleasing God in every way that we can. And if your mindset is I can drink a glass of wine, can you really keep it to one? And can you drink a glass of wine without causing yourself to even get to the point in which you are buzzed? Let me ask a question. How much alcohol does it take for you to do something that you wouldn't normally do? Or how much alcohol does it take for you to no longer be yourself? If you get to a point where you've drank alcohol to where you're not yourself anymore, or to where you are acting differently than you normally would, you have exceeded the biblical limits of drinking. Another great question to ask is, what is drunk? The Bible says don't be drunk on wine. What constitutes that? Is it the legal limit in Connecticut, in New York, in California? Because it's all different depending on where you go. I would tell you this, drunk is a very hard thing to define, but it's definitely once you're buzzed, you're no longer of sober mind. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:12, I have the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Not everything's beneficial. While you may have the right to drink wine, a glass of wine, is it beneficial for your life? Is it something that really matters to you? Something that really is good for you, I should say. And I just don't see the benefit in it. I don't see the benefit in it. I don't see why this is something that should be done. And I'm going to get into alcohol. Actually, I'll get into it right now. I want you to understand that alcohol is much more intoxicating than it was. Wine, actually, too, is much more intoxicating than it was in Bible times. A guy named Pliny, who was a historical scholar in Bible times, he records that alcohol was up to one part wine to 16 part parts water in ancient culture. There are times where wine is not even diluted anymore in our culture. So we have to keep in mind that wine in ancient culture is much different than what it was today as well. And again, I'm not going to say that having a glass of wine is a sin. I think that that is perhaps an extreme to be able to full out say, if you have a glass of wine, it is a sin. I'm not going to make that statement and say that. And by the way, everything I'm expressing is also Pastor Frank, his perspective as well. Not that that matters to you if you don't go to Faith Church, but that's his perspective as well, what I'm sharing with you guys today. But wine is something we need to be very careful with. You are definitely playing with fire when you do it. But if you can really keep yourself to one drink and you don't find yourself getting drunk or buzzed or anything like that, then that's between you and the Lord to be able to figure out. I'm not going to sit here and just say it is complete sin to be able to do that. I'll go and say this. We're talking about wine, folks. We're talking about wine. Strong drinks beyond wine are completely unacceptable for a believer. Anything beyond wine, I will call sin. Vodka, whiskey, rum, all that type of stuff. Anything that goes beyond wine is sin. And here's why. People do not drink those things because they enjoy the taste. People drink those things because they want to get drunk. My proof for that, I've told this story many times. I'm going to actually tell you something different. I was listening to the radio station, and I listen to the sports radio sometimes. And while I was listening to the sports radio station, they said this. They said that it was a commercial for like a new alcohol that came out. And they said this. It's so good, ready, that you can barely taste the alcohol. It's so good that you can barely taste the alcohol. So let me ask you a question. If it's so good that you can barely taste the alcohol, why are you drinking it? If you really just enjoy the taste of alcohol, and that's what you like, then why would you not want it to taste like alcohol? You would want it to. You'd be like, yeah, I wanted to taste like alcohol because I like the taste. But the reason is because you don't want to taste it because it doesn't taste good. And the point and the purpose is to feel some type of way by drinking it. That's the point and purpose. The only people I've ever heard justify strong drinks as just enjoying the taste and not to get drunk are Christians. If you talk to anyone in the world, people are not going to be like, oh yeah, like the reason that I drink is because I just love vodka. It's so good. Maybe they acquired a taste for it over a long period of time. But I'm telling you, talk to anybody that, and honestly, I don't even know if that's true. Like I don't think I've met one person. I have friends who are like alcoholics. They drink all the time. And they even laughed at me for suggesting that it might taste good. I asked them if they're, They got a drink somewhere that I went with them, and it wasn't a bar because I don't go to bars with people or at all by myself either. But I don't go to bars at all. But they went to a bar at a game that we were at, and then they came back to their seat, and they got a Jack and Coke. And I asked them, I said, does that taste better than a regular Coke? And I said, is it like good? And they looked at me, and they were like, no. And they acted like I was stupid for suggesting to them that it tasted good. And like, I felt dumb. I felt like a sheltered child for asking that question. And they were like, no. And I said, well, if you don't mind me asking, like, why do people drink it then? And they said, you want to get buzzed. Like, you want to feel something when you drink it. Flat out said it to me. Non-Christian people, they just said it how it was, because Christians are the only people that try to justify that hard liquors, you drink them for any other purpose other than to feel some type of way, to feel a buzz, to get drunk. Hard liquors are unacceptable. Hard liquors are for the purpose of getting drunk. The Bible condemns strong drink in a couple of different places. We should avoid strong drink as believers. Things beyond wine, those things should never touch the mouth of a believer. When I was 15 years old, and don't ask me how I got my hands on it. When I was 15 years old, I drank scotch one time. Can I tell you, it was the most repulsive thing I ever tasted in my entire life. It was so gross. It tasted like coffee grounds and cough medicine, like Robitussin together. And I coughed and gagged immediately upon drinking it. And I thought I was so cool drinking it, but I tasted it. It was disgusting. It was disgusting. I don't know why. I regret tasting it because it was the worst thing I ever tasted in my entire life. The only benefit of tasting it is at least I can say that I actually do know how bad it is. It is foul to drink that type of stuff. And it should be nowhere near the life of a Christian, drinking whiskey, rum. Again, you want to drink a glass of wine? Between you and the Lord. Don't you missed me with alcohol, with vodka being okay. You missed me with whiskey being okay. You missed me with Long Island iced teas and Jack and Cokes and all that type of stuff. You missed me with that. Get that out of here. That is not okay to drink that type of stuff as a believer. And I will stand on that. That is unacceptable for a believer to be touching any of those types of things. Wine, different discussion, different story. Now, let me hit on this real quick. Ministers, I believe ministers should stay away from alcohol entirely. Ministers. If you're not a minister, you can have a different conversation about this type of thing. And if you want to, you know, talk about it again, that's between you and the Lord. If you're a minister, I'd stay away from it. I'd stay away from it. Here's why. Romans chapter 14, verse 13. Romans chapter, actually, you know what? Go to Proverbs 31 first. Proverbs 31. I want to hit this. Proverbs 31, verse 4. It says, it is not for kings. It is not for kings to drink wine, not for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what has been declared. If you want to be a king, if you want to be someone that is in power and in authority, alcohol is not something that you should be around. You know that even some of the highest people in the world, like people that are like very high achievers that are not Christians, don't drink alcohol because they view it as something that takes away from their focus. If you want to be someone that leads as a minister, as a spiritual leader, stay away from alcohol. Stay away from it. Don't touch it. Wine included. As a minister, again, I believe this. I believe that a minister should stay away from alcohol. Again, I'm going to be careful in saying man-made ideas as commands from God, but I will say that the Bible says that it's not for kings. And so do you want to be a king or do you want to be a mocker? Because the Bible says wine is for mockers wine is not for kings. That's what the Bible says. I'm just relaying that information. But if you want to have a glass of wine, again, that's between you and the Lord. But now go to Romans chapter 14, verse 13. I want to read this to you. Romans chapter 14, verse 13. It says this. It says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. And this is in the context of understanding people's convictions and things of that nature. It says, instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. What this is talking about is some believers felt as though it wasn't okay to eat meat that was sacrificed to others, and some did. Paul was saying it is okay to eat meat sacrificed to idols. It doesn't matter. But if someone feels that they shouldn't, then let them not do that. Don't be a stumbling block. What does that mean? That means don't eat meat around them. Don't eat meat around them. And some people will, by the way, say that what I'm saying about not drinking strong drinks is a personal conviction. No, it's not. Personal convictions only apply when the Bible doesn't say anything about it. Wine, me not drinking wine, could be a different conversation of a personal conviction. And again, we're talking about a glass of wine, and that's between you and the Lord. Again, would not recommend it. I would not say it's a good thing, but that is between you and the Lord if you want to do that. But the Bible says not to be a stumbling block. I am a pastor. If somebody watched me walk out of a liquor store, that could become a stumbling block for them. How so, Pastor Joey? What if one of the people I've ministered to comes out of a life of drunkenness and alcoholism, and then they see me walk out of an alcohol store, and they say, well, if Pastor Joey drinks, then so can I. And now they think that it's okay, therefore I'm a stumbling block to them. Now they go back into their lifestyle of alcoholism. I cannot do that as a minister. I cannot touch that because I will become a stumbling block to them. So I feel very strongly about this. If you feel called to the ministry, if you feel called to be a leader, And then you should stay away from alcohol. If you feel called to be a leader, I would highly recommend to you that you stay away from alcohol. Stay away from alcohol. It's foolish to get involved in it as a pastor. Also, people can't accuse you of things when you if you don't drink. Nobody would ever be able to say that Pastor Joey was drunk or that Pastor Joey was abusing alcohol, because they'll never even catch me with my hand on alcohol. They would never catch it. Nobody's going to catch a photo with me with a beer bottle. In fact, if somebody wanted to take a photo with me with a beer, I would say, if you want to take a photo with me, you're going to need to put that beer down. Well, that's very judgmental of you, Pastor Joey. I would say to them, if you want to drink, that's between you and God, but please put that beer down before you take a photo with me, because I feel strongly that I can't be around that type of stuff. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. I wouldn't even be photographed with something that looked like alcohol. Like if it was like a mocktail, I wouldn't even be photographed with that. I don't mess with that type of stuff. We live in a world where if someone takes a photo of you and it doesn't look right, that your whole ministry can be compromised. I'm too smart for that. And you're too smart for that too. You have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Be smarter. Another question I would ask is, why do you drink alcohol? Do you drink it because it gives you peace or calms you down? Does it relieve you of pain? Are you searching for something that God is supposed to give you in alcohol? If the answer is yes, you should stop drinking alcohol, because you're looking to find something in alcohol that you can find somewhere else. Some people say, you know, we drink because it's fun. If you have a glass of wine, you know, because you think it's fun, that's between you and the Lord to be able to figure out. Glass of wine, folks, not talking about strong drinks. It's fun for me to have my vodka with my friends and stuff like that. Yeah, sin is fun. Sin is fun sometimes. It's fun for me to have sex with my boyfriend. Does it mean that you should do it? No. So, like, we could say that for anything. You know what would have been really fun when I was in high school? Would have been really fun for me to sleep around with a bunch of different girls for a while. Fun, yay. But then it wouldn't even have been worth it, because the Bible says it's the fleeting pleasures of sin. It starts pleasurable and then it ends unpleasurably. I'm happy that I didn't that I walked away from doing that type of stuff. I did stupid things when I was in high school that I regret to this day. And God's forgiven me, and I don't have condemnation. I'm thankful for that, and I can move forward with that and all that type of stuff. But the point in which I'm saying is this: there's a lot of things that you could say are fun, but at the end of the day, I found that I am ultimately more fulfilled and satisfied saying no to sin, saying no to the things of this world, and saying yes to Jesus. And in the moment, it might suck to say no to it, but afterwards, it'll be worth it. Afterwards, I'll be so thankful that I didn't get involved in that. I have friends that their lives have been ruined by alcohol, and it just hurts me that Christians would think that it's okay for them to participate in something that ruins people's lives. So here's my conclusion for you. I would strongly encourage you to refrain from all alcohol. I would encourage you to do that. I'm not going to say it is a sin for you to drink a glass of wine. I'm not going to say that. I would tell you that people begin to build up tolerance to alcohol, and it leads you to only drink more and more for you to chase after the feeling that you had before. Some people, that's why I said, if you're drinking because you're chasing a feeling, you're only going to have to drink more and more to get the same feeling. If one drink did it for you before, two drinks is going to be next, and then three drinks is going to be next. And that's science. That's the way that works. You build up a tolerance to it. You're going to have to drink more and more and more to get the feeling that you want. So if you're drinking your glass of wine to get a feeling, that is not something that you should be doing, and that I would encourage you to stop immediately. You know it's bad for you to drink alcohol? Ben just made a face at me. It's bad for you. I went to the doctor and I did for my yearly physical, and I said to my doctor, he goes, "Do you drink?" And I said, "No." And he like, his head shot up and he looked at me and goes, "Never?" And I said, "Never." He goes, "Good." So the doctor said to me, "Good." You know why? It's bad for you. Alcohol is poison to your body, especially hard liquors. Some people can make an argument, well, some red wines are good for you. Okay, fine. If you want to stick with the one glass of red wine, that's between you and the Lord. Anything beyond that's not good for you. An excessive amount of red wine is not good for you either. It's not a good thing for you to be able to take in. So It's ridiculous the hoops that people will jump through to be able to argue for it. You know, alcohol, some alcohol is good for you. Yeah, Jack Daniels is not good for you, my friend, and that's what you'd be drinking. You know, there's kids that you minister to as a Christian that come from lives that have been destroyed by alcohol. Have you ever considered that before? If you like serve actively in your church, you may be ministering to someone whose father beats them at home because they drink alcohol, and then they see you post a photo with your drink on social media, and all they can see when they see that drink is them getting hit in the face by somebody. You know what? That's like a real thing. Like, I take that into consideration. You know something I felt convicted about? I'm just kind of talking with you guys at this point. Hope it's okay. I felt convicted about this. I said in front of a group of students one time a comment that I think was stupid. I said a comment that involved harming myself, and I said it as a joke because I was frustrated with something. And I felt the Lord convict me and say, you do realize that your students are actually struggling with that, right? Or not all of them, but you may be ministering to a kid that deals with suicide. You may be ministering to a kid that deals with self-harm. And if you said that in front of a group of students and that kid was dealing with self-harm, it can look like you're making fun of what they're dealing with. Man, did I feel convicted. Sorry, Lord. I'll be more careful about saying that stuff around my students. I'm sorry, Lord. I'll be more mindful about that type of stuff. And it convicted me to think about things from a different perspective. I encourage you, think about that. And if you are going to drink your glass of wine, keep it off social media if you're ministering to people. Keep it off social media if you're even just serving in a church. Be careful. You don't need to let the whole world know that you're relaxing, you know, on the couch drinking your wine. People just need to tell you, just post their entire life. You can keep it to yourself. And keep it to yourself. Yeah. If you choose to keep drinking alcohol after listening to this, please don't drink hard liquors. It's not of God. Don't post about it on social media. Yeah. I don't know why this is so controversial. Disappoints me. I don't know why it's so controversial. You would think that people would be in agreement with, I don't think it's a good idea to drink any alcohol, but I'm not going to say that a glass of wine is a sin. So if you drink a glass, you know, that's between you and the Lord. It's amazing how many people would be upset with me for saying that. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's not a personal conviction if it defies the Bible. Think about these types of things. Think about these types of things. I want to give you an opportunity today before I close. I want to give you an opportunity to do two things. The first thing I want to give you an opportunity to do is I want to give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. This is a Freedom Generation podcast and an Impact Youth podcast. It's both ministries. And don't worry, by the way, if you get nervous by hearing that, is Pastor Joey going to leave and go on the road full time? I'm not called to be an evangelist. My first assignment is to be a pastor. I'm not leaving you. The only reason that I would leave Impact is because God wanted me to go and pastor an entire church. I'm not leaving Impact. I don't plan to do that anytime soon unless the Lord tells me otherwise. So don't get nervous when you hear that. But I want to give you an opportunity to give today. I want to give you an opportunity to sow into the kingdom of God. I want to encourage you with this scripture. Go to 1 John with me, if you would, for a second. If you would give me a second, I'm going to take this offering, and you don't have to give today or anything, but I want to give you an opportunity to give if you want to sow into Freedom Generation Ministries. 3 John. 3 John. I have to remember where it is. 3 John. 3 John. Yep, that's what it is. 3 John, there's only one chapter. I'm going to read from the NLT translation. It says, "Dear friend, you are being faithful to God when you care for the traveling teachers who pass through, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church here of your loving friendship. Please continue providing for such teachers in a manner that pleases God. For they are traveling for the Lord, and they accept nothing from people who are not believers. So we ourselves should support them so that we can be their partners as they teach the truth. I wrote to the church about this, but Diotrephes, who loves to be the leader, refuses to have anything to do with us. When I come, I will report some of the things he is doing and the evil accusations he is making against us. So I reason I read this scripture is because the Bible talks about providing for traveling ministers or providing for traveling teachers. Now, obviously, I'm not an evangelist or anything, but what this ministry does is it allows the gospel to travel. We give money to other ministries so that they can do evangelistic events at their church and at their high school. And so what we do is we send money out so that people can go do events there. And so when you give in the Freedom Generation Ministry, you are giving to the advancement of the gospel. The Bible says to bless the traveling teachers, to bless them as they go. And so I want to give you an opportunity today to participate in that. Perhaps you have never given an offering before. I want you to know that giving offerings is something of free will. What that means is that you don't have to ever give an offering. You only do it if you feel to do it and you want to do it. I'm telling you this, we're getting the gospel out there. Freedom Generation Ministries is getting the gospel all across America. We're going to help students. We're going to start in New England and then spread. But we're going to get students in New England and youth pastors in New England and the tri-state area. We're going to get them funds to be able to go and win people for Christ. I want you to know that when you give today, you're not giving to something that is, you know, just to line my pockets with money. That's not, we don't receive offerings for that. That's not the purpose of it. The purpose is so that we can go and do big things for God. We do big things for God through Freedom Generation here at Impact Youth. We have Freedom Generation events. There have been thousands of kids saved through Freedom Generation outreaches, and you can be a part of that today. If you don't want to give today, don't give today. But I'll tell you this, you're sowing on good ground. And the Bible says, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. When you sow today, you will reap a harvest on what you sow. I want to pray for you as you get ready to give. And Ben, if you can go ahead, can you throw the giving slide on? Does that work? Is it on there? Ben's going to throw the giving slide on the screen. And if you want to go ahead and sow a seed to Freedom Generation Ministries today, you can go ahead and do that. I'm not asking you to sow if you don't want to sow. I'm asking you to sow something that matters to you. If it doesn't matter to you, it won't matter to God. What's up, Sam? How you doing, man? If your seed doesn't matter to you, it won't matter to God. If it doesn't move you, it won't move God. If $10 means a lot to you, it'll mean a lot to God. So if you want to sow a seed today into Freedom Generation Ministries, you can go ahead and do that by the different ways that are on the screen in front of me right now. You can sow. You can go ahead and give today. It's not working. All right. Well, if you want to sow today, you can go to freedomgen.org, right? It's freedomgen.org. Go to freedomgen.org and you can sow any way. You can give by Venmo, Cash App, PayPal, or you can give online by just giving a credit card. If you want to do that, you can do that. If you want to sow something more significant, you can go ahead and write a check and do that. But I would encourage you, the best way to be able to give is by card, primarily. You don't have to give anything today. Like I said, I'm not trying to just take money from people or whatever. I'm giving you an opportunity to sow. Freedom Generation is richly provided for. I received a word when I was at a meeting recently that there would be businessmen that would come and that would just give money to fund all of our events, as we do them. So I'm not worried about that. I'm not trying to get money because I just need money. I'm trying to give you an opportunity to sow, because as you sow, you'll reap and God will take you higher in Jesus' name. Start wherever you're at and watch and see as God will increase you. If you're going to give something today, go and hold your offering up wherever you're at, even if you're watching the replay. Let me pray over it right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that every single person watching this right now that's made a decision to sow, I thank you, Lord, that as they give in accordance with your word, as they seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, that everything else will be added unto them. I thank you, Lord, that they'll receive a bountiful harvest because they sow bountiful seed. Thank you, Lord, for blessing them. Thank you, God, for taking them higher in Jesus' mighty name. God bless them as they give. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's one last thing I want to do. If you're watching this and you're not right with Jesus and you want to get right with him today, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. I never like to close a broadcast without giving you an opportunity to get right with Jesus. If you know you're not right with Jesus, I want you to know that Jesus Christ came down. He lived a perfect life. He took the payment for our sin on a cross, which was death. He was then buried in the ground, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And today he extends an invitation to you to give your life to him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to heaven. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. If you want to get right with Jesus, today all you have to do is turn your back on the way that you're living and put your faith in him. Today is a day to give your life to Jesus fully and completely. I want to go ahead and give you an opportunity to do that. If that's you and you want to do that, just repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, today I give you my life. I turn my back on the way I was living. And I put my faith in you. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. You were buried in the ground and you rose from the dead. Thank you, Jesus. I'm a Christian now, a real Christian, and I'm not turning back. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, welcome to the family of God. You're on your way to heaven, but this is not the end of your journey. It's the beginning of your walk with God. The next step is to get involved in a great church. I want you to go ahead and I want you to DM our Instagram page, Impact Youth. If you just got saved, you can go ahead and go on there and we want to help you get connected to a good church very soon. I need to keep on remembering to make an I Just Got Saved button on our website. But thank you for tuning into the Uncanceled podcast. We love you guys, and I hope to see you back here next week.
Thank you for listening to the Uncanceled podcast. We hope you were blessed and encouraged by the teaching today. If you are between the grades of 5th through 12th grade, make sure to check us out in person at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Be sure to tune in next week for another weekly podcast from Uncanceled. God bless.